Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning teaches us always to remember that when we gather here, it is not a gathering of like-minded people, some social event, like we came together for 4-H, or like mothers of preschool-age children, or whatever social group and gathering that it is. It is not some kind of show where people find pleasure in watching what happens for this hour each week come to satisfy their desire for entertainment and self-pleasure. Instead, we gather here because our Lord has promised that when we do, He will actually descend from heaven to be here with us, to speak His word of peace to us. It is the peace that was purchased with the spilling of His holy precious blood, His innocent suffering and death. And finally, descending to deliver this to each of you in the holy absolution and the giving of His body and blood at this altar. That's the reality that informs all that we do. And anything, even one thing that even gives the slightest inclination that we are gathered for any other reason must be driven out from among us. All of this is seen in the judgment of Jerusalem and the Jews and the weeping of our Lord because of it. Jesus weeps, and He weeps because they did not know the things that make for peace. How true that is today of those whose worship rejects the truths mentioned a moment ago when they gather. True peace is not found when the right kind of music or the perfectly coordinated light show and ambiance of the scene are created to move a group of people with some kind of euphoric feeling through psychological manipulation. It should be obvious. True peace is found instead only in the means appointed by Christ. That is, when His word is taught in all of its truth and purity, and the sacraments are administered in the manner in which He instituted them. This is most certainly true. However, this lack of knowing what makes for peace is a much broader issue than what happens in worship. Perhaps you've heard the ancient Latin expression, lex orendi, lex credendi. And if you haven't, you're now smarter because you heard Latin. It literally means the law of what is prayed is the law of what is believed. The law of what is prayed is the law of what is believed. In other words, the way the church prays, that is her liturgy, the Greek word for prayer, liturgia, her worship, is a reflection of what she believes. If you think that the peace of God is a feeling of happiness within yourself, a feeling of pleasure and contentment inside of you, your worship will reflect that. This is why so many churches in America today model themselves after a rock concert with a motivational speaker giving a little TED talk in the middle of the show. Our Lord looks down at such displays of ignorance and weeps. He cries out, "If you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for peace. But now apparently they are hidden from your eyes." While speaking against these so-called types of worship is surely needed in our day, we must first get to the root of the problem. Because the problem isn't the type of worship. The orandi, the church's liturgy and worship and prayer, is a reflection of the credendi, that is, the thing that is believed. It's not the other way around. Therefore, we must address first and foremost what is believed, the credendi. And that is exactly why Jesus looks over the city of God's chosen nation and weeps. We know Jesus isn't a legalist. He's not mad that people are selling things in the temple. He's mad that people believe this will save them from their sins. They did not know the things that make for peace. They did not know the time of their visitation. They did not know that peace can only be found in the long-promised Messiah who had come in the person of Jesus Christ. They did not know that the promise of Genesis 3:15, repeated all throughout the Old Testament, was now being fulfilled in him right before their eyes, that he would sacrifice himself for each and every one of their sins, that he came to purchase them to be his own and restore each one of them to a right relationship with their Creator. They believed instead that they could do it on their own. They believed instead that they could buy their own way to heaven by keeping the law. And it should be no surprise that this is reflected in the way that they worshiped. They had turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. God had sent his chosen people prophets who spoke by God's holy word. The word promised them again and again that a Savior was coming, and there he was standing before his people, the promised seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And they didn't want anything to do with it. God did not destroy Jerusalem because his sins were too great for him to forgive. That's silly. God destroyed Jerusalem instead because she rejected his word. She rejected his promise. She rejected his son. She rejected the only way that makes for peace. It is certainly worth noting, if even for a moment, that despite her rejection, he still loved her anyway. He still moved forward into the city, teaching in the temple daily. He still moved forward to his betrayal and arrest in that same city. He still moved forward to his innocent suffering and crucifixion. He still moved forward to complete the task of making true peace for all who receive it by faith. Jesus weeps in our reading today because he knows they will reject him in the peace that he will win for them. It breaks his heart to know that what he will do in the end because of their rejection is to destroy them. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Destruction comes to those who reject the things who make for peace. Here we are, 2,000 years later. Has God changed? We know this isn't the case. He himself declares, "I am the Lord, I do not change." And the author of Hebrews writes, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." The promised Messiah has come, and he has paved the way of peace. He has poured out his blood for you and purchased forgiveness, life, and salvation for you. He has given you the washing of water by the word to apply that blessing to you personally. He has sent men to you to speak as if Christ is speaking himself. "I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," promising that whatever the pastor forgives here on earth will be forgiven in heaven. He has given you his true body and blood under the forms of bread and wine that you may consume the sacrifice and receive the benefits of it into yourself personally. Do you believe this? Jesus weeps over those who do not. He weeps because, like his chosen nation Israel, he will one day destroy them. Those who reject these things do not know the things that make for peace. They do not recognize the time of their visitation, which is right here, right now, this very hour. That is to say, they do not realize that Christ is visiting them even today to give them the true peace which surpasses all understanding. God grant such persons true repentance and a right understanding of his peace, that they would forsake those things that do not make for peace and run instead to the things that do. God grant also that none of us here today would ever fall into the snare and trap of the devil, that we would instead always believe that God visits us not in the things that bring us temporary pleasure, for those things will all fade, but instead in the meager means that he has appointed for the purposes of granting us true peace, the peace that comes from being reconciled to God by the forgiveness of our sins, purchased and won by the blood of Christ our Lord. And finally, God grant that our worship then would always be a reflection of this. For this we believe, and this is most certainly true. God grant it all for the sake of Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.